You're listening to a podcast from the Finnish Football Show. Yes, it's the Finnish Football Show. I'm Mark Wiltshire. Happy New Year, listener. Okay, it's a little late, but like very sleepy Finnish bears, we've finally come out of hibernation. So I'm here today with Rich Nelson. Hi, Rich.
Hey.
And while there hasn't been too much action on the pitch, there's been plenty off of it. So in this episode, we thought we'd look at what's been going on around Finnish football in the last month or so, and looking at the managerial situation at HJK and SJK, and get to the bottom of the situation as to why both clubs have got substitute head coaches. I'm not sure if that's an official title. They might not thank us for this, but we'll explain what's been going on. We'll also have a look at the situation at HJK, which is sad, them going bankrupt again, and dropping down a few divisions. We'll look at a few cup competitions. Liga Cup's got underway. Ali from the Finnish Football Show will be playing in the Suomen Cup this year. At least one game. We don't know how good he is or his team are. We'll find out. And then we'll look forward to the draw for the 2024 Nations League, which take place on Thursday the 8th. So the Huuhkajat will be in the draw for that competition while they still have the playoff from the last one to see if they get into the Euros. Football never stops. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Won't somebody please think of the poor podcasters? Right, let's get cracking, Rich, and start with the managerial shenanigans at HJK and SJK. Maybe you can explain what's happened, and I'll add a little bit of colour as and where I've got something to say.
We love a good merry-go-round, don't we? I guess I'll start with HJK. So last year when Toni Koskela, who got sacked after winning three straight Veikkausliiga titles, a couple of cups, getting them into group stages and so on, but there were a lot of issues behind the scenes. I think he's fallen out with several of the players, and they brought in Toni Korkeakunas, who was formerly an assistant and generally a well-respected coach in Finland. And he took them to the title. He got them, well, I mean, they were already in the Conference League group stage, I think, by the time he took over. But he did a pretty good job at keeping the ship steady. They won the league, we'll say relatively comfortably. But then before his reign finished, I think it was after the title had been wrapped up, but before the end of the group stages, the club announced that he was going to be replaced as head coach by Ferran Sibila, who's a Spanish gent who was working on the coaching staff at Malmo. Now, I don't think he'd ever had a full managerial position. He'd been around Sweden for a bit. I think he had a role at Barnsley doing something over. But the idea was that he would take over as HJK head coach after an announcement, you know, very public, you know, this is our new manager. It then emerged that he was not a UEFA Pro license holder, which is a minimum standard for a Veikkausliiga coach. And at some point it was decreed that, oh, well, he'll be on the next coaching course of the Swedish FA, because that's where he was based. Sweden, or the Swedish FA, said at no point was this ever raised, and he is no longer working in Sweden, therefore, why would we give him a place on our course?
Yeah, my understanding is that that course in Sweden is for coaches in Sweden, and the course is held in Swedish as well.
Yes. So essentially, even if he was eligible at the time, by moving to Finland, he became ineligible. And this rumbled on. I can't remember who unveiled or who kind of dug this up. And I'm going to probably give credit to Ari Virtanen because he seems to know everything that's happening at Hoiko.
And he's a friend of the show, so he deserves the credit.
Yeah, he's a friend of mine. Yeah, so he does a lot. And he's written an awful lot about everything that's gone on at Hoiko this winter. But so it essentially came out that this was brewing and Hoiko rumbled and stewed on it for a couple of weeks. And I think initially there was some stubbornness of, he is our head coach. He will be the head coach. He will, you know, and ultimately, I think the Veikkausliiga, the Finnish FA have said he cannot be the head coach.
Now, the point about this is that it's okay for the manager to be on a course, to have started a course in the year that they are the head coach.
But I think at some point, now, I'm assuming it wasn't his fault or else he would be unemployed now, but assurances were made or there was a belief that this course would be a given, that he would have this place and thus could take up the job. After whatever was happening behind the scenes, and there was a whole side issue around the, how can I put it politely, where I get sued, competence of the Hoiko's new sporting director. So it turns out that he is now going to be a member of the coaching staff at Hoiko, and Ossi Virta, who was the assistant last year, he was the assistant at Haka under Teemu Taimio, then moved to Hoiko. He is enrolled on a course for this year for the UEFA Pro, so he is allowed to be the head coach of Hoiko. So on paper, he is the head coach of Hoiko, and Ferran Sibila is part of his coaching team. And at some point in the future, if Sibila receives his UEFA Pro, then he will become the head coach.
Or if he finds a course to start studying for that course. So that's the technicality, isn't it?
So once he becomes eligible to become the Hoiko head coach, he should then become Hoiko's head coach. Now, I don't know about this guy. Not many people do. This is a lot of pressure to put on someone who's never been a head coach before and has all this sitting on his shoulders and all this hassle that Hoiko have gone to get this guy in. I mean, Ossi Virta is well respected in the coaching circles. He speaks very eloquently about coaching, about Finnish football, about what he's aiming to do, his plans and hopes for Hoiko, as he did at Haka last year. And if this is the plan, and you assume that he is okay with it, for him to step aside and allow this to happen. So, what a big step this is.
Now, from your perspective, Rich, how do you then view the situation at Asiko?
Well, funnily enough, Asiko waited about 10 minutes.
The decision was made about Hoiko.
After Hoiko published theirs, Asiko then announced almost identical situation, but without the farce. So essentially,
which makes a nice change for the pantomime to be not in Seinäjoki. That's something.
So essentially, Asiko had done the same thing, but with a lot less fanfare and a lot less obvious sort of shifting and kind of looking at their feet and going, oh my God, what have we done? So in that case, Stevie Grieve, who was the academy coach last year and did very well, was named as the head coach of Asiko. Not too much fanfare, but the club announced it. And then it became apparent that, again, for coaching course purposes, he wasn't able to take up the role. And Toni Lehtonen, who had already been announced as joining the club as on the coaching staff, he is involved in course. He was at Jiko, I believe.
Last couple of years, yeah.
And again, he's able to take the job, and he is now on paper the head coach.
Paper, but on the Veikkausliiga website, where we've just been looking at the transfers and things, it lists Stevie as the head coach.
That I think that was out of date. I think that was about a month out of date.
Okay, all right.
I think last updated 8th of January. So I think so technically, Toni Lehtonen is the head coach, and Stevie Grieve is a member of the coaching staff. Now, Asiko haven't done what Hoiko have done and haven't basically crowned Stevie as the next manager. I think it's just a case of as and when things change, they will review it, which is the logical thing to do. Now, coming from Ashley, that's weird, but.
Yeah, no, it's nicely calm, isn't it? I think it's worth pointing out the problem here is caused by the fact that the Finnish FA only runs this UEFA Pro coach every 2 years, and there's not a course this year for these managers to sign up for. So there's a kind of structural issue there that's causing this problem. And Stevie was tried to register for another international course in one of the Baltic countries, and that didn't happen. So that's then finds himself in the same sort of situation.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, from a flip side of view, I believe Mikel Arteta did his course in Wales. Now, I don't know, but I mean, I guess part of the UK might be slightly different, but even so,
Did he do it in
it's
Welsh?
well, that'd be interesting, wouldn't it? But I think this is the thing where I think that the clubs and Asikor, for all the chaos and everything that they've had, are they do appear to be doing things with a vision in mind. It's not necessarily working 100%, but looks like from the outside, and obviously you see it from a different point of view, but it looks like everything there is working towards a rough plan and they're cutting their cloth accordingly. Now, Hoiko have got a new sporting director, and again, Ari wrote a very interesting piece around their recruitment of their sporting director, who I believe he was at Inter, didn't really fancy working full time in Helsinki, so did part of his time working from Turku. Had some trouble recruiting some players, which, really, if you're Hoiko and you can't recruit players from Finland, you are not doing it well. And and he's basically bet the house, bet the farm on their new, not new head coach. And I think everything about this, and they had a press conference when the whole situation was initially resolved, and Aki Rielätti, the CEO, was there and looking not very pleased. A lot of people know him as quite a happy, chirpy guy. He did not look amused by what he was dealing with, and had the sporting director next to him looking like he'd been given a good kicking behind the scenes. And the new manager sitting there going, "Yes, I'm very happy to be here on a head coach's salary, presumably." And also, we had the funny bit where the coaching staff were photographed on the training pitch, and Ozzie was standing very clearly on tiptoes so that he was visibly above his peers. It's definitely taken the pressure off everyone else, let's put it that way.
Okay, I think we can draw a line under that one for
For
now.
now.
And let's talk about this sad situation for HoiFK. We had the story of Honka at the end of last season essentially going bust, and now it seems that HoiFK have followed in the same path.
So many times it was becoming a regular event. They'd be putting out share, or the, sorry, I'll clarify, the owning company of HoiFK were putting out share issues, and they'd had ownership crises over the previous years where they changed owners. And I think at one point, it was about 3 years ago, the owner, I think he basically pulled his funding because there was a disagreement about the loaning of players. And in this latest iteration, basically a group of a consortium of HoiFK fans and wealthy people came together, a club together, and took over. And things were difficult at the best of times. They were very much struggling. I mean, they certainly don't have, from a football point of view, when you compare them to the hockey club, who are massive, the football operation is not anywhere near the same scale, and when you're very much in the shadow of Hoiko as well. And what they are basically saying did them was that in the spring of 2022, they signed, or they were deemed to have signed, a pre-contract with the Italian coach Fabrizio Picaretta to take over as their coach. He'd previously been at Inter Turku, and because they then changed their mind and signed Miksu Patalainen, he sued them, and FIFA basically ordered them to pay him compensation, nearly 100,000 euros. So this and then various other funding shortages and so on. I mean, it was kind of brewing for ages. I mean, I think even last year when they were new, kind of were claiming they wouldn't make it to the end of the season. They'd said it in Vegas League the year before. And they announced at the start of January this year that essentially the old owning company were bankrupt. So the team will reassemble in the Kolmonen, which is the third division, or now the fifth tier of the Finnish football pyramid, because you've now got two first divisions,
Yeah,
of course.
this we have an Ukkos and an Ukkonen.
Yes.
Yes.
So it's the third division, but the fifth tier. I'm not sure how it's going to work, but what also was announced, I think it was last week, was that they are now subject, because of this, to a FIFA transfer ban, and they are not allowed to sign new players. So bear in mind, this club has had to reform four divisions lower. They are not allowed to register new players. Anyone over the age of 16,
Really?
who is not part of their club already.
Wow. Okay.
So that, I think that there is a lot of to-ing and fro-ing with this. I think there's a suggestion that can they really be held responsible for the, for previous misdemeanors like this? I think essentially because they forfeited paying the compensation. But that's rumbling on as well. But essentially, they're looking like they'll be playing in the third or fifth year with a group of children.
And a group of lively supporters who probably will still continue to turn out and see their team because that's what they do. But it is sad. I know that, there's been some bother, particularly at the stud in Derby over the years, but that was always one of the big, like, it was only 18 months ago we had this big Veikkausliiga Helsinki Derby, and now it looks like it's a very long time till that happens again.
Yeah, and I think when you look at the problems, I think below the surface, I mean, obviously they're a big financial issue, but they didn't have that kind of that reach, and I think the established, they had a core group of fans. But it's hard to see really beyond the stad in Derby. That was kind of it. And I guess that was, as much the league and the culture's issues as much as anything else. But I think the fact is that without the stad in Derby, they added very little to the league. And I think, had the club been run properly, who knows? But I think they were being run almost as either an amateur club or as a plaything of a foreign investor, and didn't have. And we see, well, we saw, as we saw with Honka and numerous other clubs, especially, and it seems to be in that region as well. A lot of the clubs who've had financial issues over the last decade and plus have been in the Helsinki and in the kind of larger metropolitan area. So I think, it does look like this is now it for them for the foreseeable future. And I guess certainly from a from an outsider's point of view, and those who enjoyed the fan culture and that, I think it's going to be a big loss, and I think it'll be a long time before they come back.
Yeah, it's sad. And just as a reminder, Rich, Honka next season will be playing in.
In Kakkonen, so
Okay.
they've taken this place of their own academy,
Yes.
but they've reformed there, and Mika Bäärinen is their head coach. So, by all accounts, there is at least a good academy there. So, there's more hope for them, perhaps.
Yeah, but it's sad news to see two Veikkausliiga clubs in the last 18 months dropping down several divisions because of finances.
I think Honka played in the Suomen Cup final less than 6 months ago,
Yeah,
and
that's
now
true.
they're in the fourth tier.
Yeah, and Europe.
Yeah, well, well, again, that was one of the things that they claimed did them, and they lost money on their one game. So,
Well, they should have flown with Norwegian rather than Finnair.
well, I think they had a chartered plane. That was it.
Well, then they should have flown with Norwegian rather than the chartered
Exactly.
plane. I mean, the comment still stands.
Indeed.
Okay, let's move on. We'll look at the Liga Cup, which has just got underway. There's not too many games played yet, or maybe a couple of games for most of the teams, anyway. And in this competition, you've got two groups, Group A, Group B, and six teams in each. They all play each other once, and after each team's played five games, the top two from each group go through to semi-finals and final. This is played indoors because outside it's blooming cold and covered in snow and ice at the moment, which gives it a kind of surreal pre-season kind of practice kind of vibe. But this, and you know, most of these indoor arenas seem to hold a few hundred people. Hoyi Corps seem to get 400 at home. Asi Corps 450 the other day. Vasa 450 when Asi Corps went to visit. So you know, it's not nothing, but they're relatively small crowds squeezed into these dome arenas, these bubble arenas. Let's look at Group A, Rich. This is the kind of the southern based group. So in here you've got Hoyi Corps, Mariehamn, Inter, Lahti, Ekenas, and Gnistan. And what has caught your eye so far about this competition? We've got Hoyi Corps, I suppose, winning two out of two and sitting top of their group is a good place to start.
Yeah, I mean, Hoyi Corps, again, this is the thing, these facilities they're playing in are municipal facilities. I mean, bear in mind, I think after one of Hoyi Corps' games, we heard from Ali, one of our co-hosts, who was using that facility that evening for training for his team. So Hoyi Corps won their first game, a very fortunate goal towards the end from Anthony Olasani against Mariehamn, but they did have their debutant Carlos Moros Garcia sent off on his debut. And again, in the second game against Gnistan last week, they took the lead again through Olasanya, and it was a winner from Topi Keskinen, who we've talked about a lot before. Really, really quick, promising left winger. But Gnistan did equalise just before half time. So again, it's hard to read a lot into these games being essentially preseason friendlies, but you know, it's nice to see that, you know, they gave as good as they got.
Yeah, and it's right you say about this. If not municipal, in Seinäjoki, it's kind of Asi Corps facility, but it's used by, it is rented out at certain times of the day. And as the first teams were coming off the pitch at the end, one of the Asi Corps girls teams, probably 14, 15-year-olds, were coming onto the pitch round the other side. So similar kind of situation.
We've done it in five-a-side, haven't we?
Yeah. So
Inter are playing actually outdoors at their stadium, which was relayed new turf in last year or in the autumn. Yeah, so they're actually playing outside.
Yeah, well, that's quite early, isn't it? I mean, I know that I remember last year some of their cup games were played outside, and it was clear of snow and it was milder down south. But it's interesting that already, sort of at the beginning of Feb, they're able to do that. There's one game still between Ekenas and Gnistan that hasn't been played. So there's in that Group A, there's a game in hand, if you like. In Group B, all teams have played two. Asi Corps and Kups haven't won a game yet. They've lost both of theirs. That's not the best start. No, we've got a slightly less worse goal difference than you.
That's all we've got going. Yeah, it's but then Ilves have started well, and as I said, I think they look like they've recruited well. Santeri Haarala, he had a good end of last year, and he scored three goals already. He scored two against VPS at the weekend. And again, early doors, but you know, they look like they're doing well. And I think
and they're in Europe this year, aren't they?
They are, winning, as cup winners.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it is hard because I mean we've had years. I mean, I remember one year doing this. I'm sure Lahti won the Liga Cup one year, and you kind of, oh, you know, but then it doesn't translate into the league at all.
No, that's true. And also having a bad Liga Cup doesn't necessarily mean that the rest of the season is going to be bad. There's a lot of pieces still moving at the moment, so.
And you can, the thing is, you can play trialists here, so you are literally trying new players out. Or you could play a Ghanaian midfielder, Hans Sarpe, who was at Ingolstadt previously last year, actually in Germany, and they've signed him on a new contract. So he did well in these trials. I think he played the 90 minutes against Kurdistan anyway, and did enough to convince them to sign him. So I think he's had a decent career in Germany, actually, so he's got some good pedigree.
Yeah, I'll give a little bit of color. I was at the game last Saturday, the Asikor against Oulu, and Oulu have got a couple of British players, Callum Ward in goal and Ashley Coffey up front. And we've got a small group of British and English speaking fans in the cockpit there, so we kind of give them a bit of and it is friendly stick, but we do give them a little bit of stick, and both of them are good as gold and kind of laugh it off and give us and give it a little bit back as well. And it's good when they're in town, and it carried on with this game. Ashley Coffey did a bit of a naughty foul on one of our young defenders, and someone shouted out, "You dirty, what's it?" And he was close enough, he heard it, and he looked around and sort of gave a little smile. And then a few minutes later, he turned and weaved his way into the box and scored. And as he went running off with his hands up in the air, he sort of looked over his shoulder at us and let us know that he that was for us. And then at the end of the game, as we're coming off, the players have to sort of cross the walkway around the side of the arena. And just as we got to that point, he was coming off the pitch, so we sort of said hello, and he was good as gold actually, and stayed and stopped and talked to us for 5 minutes or so. The usual, "Oh, how come you're living in Finland? What are you doing here?" kind of thing. And
Was that
no, that was him to
you
us. That was
to
him. He was like, "Oh, what are you doing here?" And you
him?
know, that kind of thing. And yeah, good lad. And he said, "Look forward to the first game of the season." So we're gonna have to find some other. We can't seem to rattle either of them, to be honest with you. They seem to thrive on it. Maybe we should just shut up. Julian, note to us, let's shut up for the next game. Okay, so at the moment, Group A, still 3 or 4 games to go, but Hoyko top with 6 points, Mariehamn, Inter and Lahti all on 3, and Ekenäs and Gnistan on 0 points as things stand. And in Group B, Ilves top with 6, then Hakka and Oulu on 4, VPS on 3, Asikor on 0. Should we move on, Rich?
Yes, please, quickly. It means nothing.
Sormen Cup draw. Ali's in the cup. Ali's on his way to Helsinki. Yes. Well, he lives in Helsinki,
Yes.
so.
This is funny. I think I'm sure maybe me and Kekhead were a few beers down one evening and we talked about forming a Finnish football show team one year and getting us and some ringers in just to say that we played in the cup. And I think this is something that's happened since the revamp of the cup a couple of years ago, that a lot of amateur teams have kind of, if not formed, at least kind of really made a push to join in with this. And it's nice that at least one of the five of us will be playing in the Sormen Cup this year.
That sounds quite mad, really, doesn't it? But you've been busy tweeting away about some of the names there. And actually, this is a point we should mention, that the Escape to Suomi Twitter profile has now become officially the Finnish Football Show Twitter
Yeah,
profile.
makes it a bit easier for the older. We're the same across all platforms now.
Yeah. Well, almost the same handle anyway.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah,
And
search Finnish
again,
Football Show on social media, you'll find us somewhere or other.
yes. So at least, you'll never know which one of us it was who tweeted that thing you didn't like.
That's true. Not Ridge. He's hiding behind the rest of us. He's hiding behind our skirts now.
Operation Human Shield, they're now tweeting if it's against Cups, it wasn't.
So what are some of your favourite names that you've come across so far?
I mean, a couple of them are kind of perennial favourites of the early round draws. I mean, we have Chicken Wings, Fish United, who were really good value last year, for all the fish-related puns that you could get when going for a place and back of the net and all that sort of stuff. One club, and I will butcher the pronunciation here, which I hadn't heard of previously, FC Pemet Ya Malat, which
Yes.
translates as FC Soft and Wet.
Oh, dear God.
Although their logo is a beer barrel and the beer is emptying onto a regulation Telstar football. So, yes.
Is it a punctured soft, a punctured ball? So it's a soft, wet football.
It's not yet, still fully inflated.
Okay.
But one of the teams that I did tweet around prior to the draw was FC Mango.
Okay.
And they are the team that Ali will be playing in
Okay,
round one.
what is Ali's team so that the listeners can keep an eye out for them?
So Ali's team is again, excuse me, pronounce it, Ponistus 2.
Yeah,
So the
Ponistus, yeah.
second team of Ponistus, who play in the Vitonen in the Helsinki area, FC Mango play in Kuutamo. So
Ah, oh, Ali, you can't lose.
yes. So
What could
again,
possibly go wrong?
this draw is structured so that the lower ranked of the two teams is technically the home side. I think that goes all the way to the end. I think that's
Ah,
something that
okay.
carries on through to the end. But
I quite
yeah,
like that. I think that's okay.
it's seeding in as pure a way as they can do. So Ponistus will be away to Mango at some point. The ties will be played between. This sounds very much like the old school FA Cup, doesn't it? Like, ties will be played between the 9th of February and the 3rd of March.
9th of okay, so there's almost a month, 4 weeks there to
Yeah,
get those games played.
because again, let's bear in mind these clubs have got to pay to hire pitches.
Yeah.
Some of them, this is where we find occasionally some of them might actually play at the more established stadiums. But yeah, you've got some very weird ones. One that I misread as FC Milf, but it's not. Afro Foot Club. They all sound like barbers in green lanes. But yeah, there's quite a lot of these clubs doing the round, and you know, every year there's value in there, and but again, there's 364 teams competing in this year's cup. When you compare it to, and admittedly, it was a structural thing, I think 5 or 6 years ago, when it was essentially just the top three divisions
Yeah, no,
in Finland.
it's much better now, and
Yeah.
I mean it's hard to, obviously for 360 teams to keep a track on all of them. So I think highlighting some of these that where their names tickle us and where they're going to be steamrolled by Ali and his Ponistus boys. Then that's kind of fine for now, and I'll put the link in the blog post so that you can see the draw, see the teams. I'll be keeping an eye out for some of my local teams up here. Obviously FC Apollo is a perennial favorite, and Senio and Sisu, my friend Paul and his boys did reasonably well last year, and also from Suomen Cup, those lower place teams that get through a few rounds have the opportunity to play in the Roots Cup as well, and
Yes.
there's an alternative pathway to some silverware there.
Yeah, that splits into what is similar to like a cup final weekend at the end of the season. So they have the Roots Cup and the Regions Cup as well, which is for the sort of
Yes, that one.
middle
Yes.
divisions.
Yeah.
And that becomes a European competition. So I mean, there's a lot there. I think that the work that's gone on from Palloliitto and over and the task force or committee or whatever the name it was of this group that they sorted out to really reinvigorate. I mean, other than the regular debates around the attendance at the final, which can't be helped, let's be honest. Everything else that they've done with the competition has been absolutely fantastic. You've got so much good engagement, and I mean old-fashioned engagement, not Twitter stuff, but all these guys, I mean, they're people like us who can say they've played in the Suomen Cup. And it's there is a romance to it. There are stories, there are good things that come out of it. And the participation is brilliant. And I think everything that they've done is good. And I think the winner of this year's competition, we're jumping ahead, should get an extra round entry into the Europa League next year.
Ah, okay.
So I think because of all the way that all works out, I think
Because Hoyko have been doing so well playing in all three
essentially.
competitions every year.
Essentially, yeah. So it means that the winners of the Stormont Cup go into the Europa League rather than the Conference League.
I see. Sorry, I mean I didn't quite catch what you meant. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, I think that's to be confirmed, but I think that was as things stood at the end of the winter round of games. So
Rich,
I
you
think
really are
Hoyle
a font of knowledge that you amaze me.
I've forgotten it already.
How you manage to know this stuff and keep down a fairly responsible job.
Fairly. You read the
Okay, one
news.
we have one more thing to talk about, which is the upcoming Nations League draw. So we'll have another episode back at the end of the week, and Rich will sort of confirm what the situation is. But Nations League 2024 groups are being drawn.
Yeah, so this Thursday, the eighth of February. So the Nations League, which feeds into the next cycle of World Cup qualifiers, that kicks off. So the draw is made on Thursday, and the tournament begins. The international window starting in September. They have added some different elements to it. Now Finland remain in Group B or League B, sorry, after finishing second in the group last time. Now, obviously, we don't know the draw yet, but we're looking at the teams in pot one. So, the seeded pot one for League B are the teams that were relegated from League A last time: Austria, Czechia, Wales, and England.
Oh, yeah, England got
So, England
relegated,
were
didn't they? That would be
relegated.
tasty. Okay.
Pot two, which is Finland's, you've got Ukraine, Iceland, Norway. So, Finland can't play any of those, which is good because they always seem to play Ukraine. Pot three, so Finland will play one of Slovenia, Republic of Ireland, Albania, and Montenegro. And pot four are the promoted teams from League C, which are Georgia, Greece, Turkey, and Kazakhstan again.
Don't want Kazakhstan.
Yeah, but what happens this time round is the team that finishes first will go into League A for the next competition, which feeds into Euro 28. And the second place team, this is the first time, normally I think Finland have finished second in both of the last two campaigns. They will play a third place team from League A as a promotion relegation playoff.
Nice.
And that will be played in, so that's a two-legged tie.
And so the third place team in that group would then play the second place team from below, I guess.
Yes. So the third team in League A will play the second team in League B.
So the
And
whole
then they
thing is
get.
tasty all the way through to the end.
Yeah. So I think they've seen probably too many dead rubbers. And I think, it gives them, and because essentially they are now eating into lots. I mean, bear in mind the next winter there isn't a tournament in 25. So they're just trying to pad out with, rather than friendlies, just padding out playoffs and knockouts, and there's a quarter final now for the winner of the Nations League. It's all very convoluted, but
Right, okay. Oh, we'll talk about this a little bit more structurally nearer the time, but
because
it's good to have that in the back of the mind.
yeah, so essentially this is going to be planning Finland's fixtures for the autumn and winter this year. So post Euro 24, which we're still not sure if Finland will be out yet, but we do know that Finland will be playing Scotland in a Euro 24 friendly in Glasgow at the start of June.
What off the top of your head, do you have the other fixtures that Finland will be playing? Obviously, there's the
That's it.
playoffs.
That's it so far. So we've got Wales away in March, which is the first round of the playoffs, and then Finland will be at home to either. So if they beat Wales, they'll be at home to the winner of Poland and Estonia, and if they lose to Wales, they will be at home to the loser of Poland and Estonia.
As a friendly.
As a friendly, tickets are on sale. I don't know how many they've sold yet.
No, okay.
There is some sort of tier in terms of what you're charged, depending on the outcome of the way it's going.
And then Scotland away is a friendly in June.
Scotland is a friendly. Yeah, I think it's Scotland's last game before the Euros because they've already qualified. But it should also be Finland's last game before the Euros if they qualify.
Yeah.
And if
yeah.
there is another international that week, so Finland, whatever happens, are likely to play another game.
Yeah. Okay. Good stuff. I'll put the fixtures in the blog post as well, with all the links to where the listener can find all that, all those bits and pieces.
It would be nice. Just imagine England. Finland haven't played England since 2001.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they've played Wales plenty.
Yeah, it would be nice, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be easy, but it would be nice to. And you know what? It would create a bit of fuss about the Finnish football show back home as well.
Yeah, and I think just, you know, it's our little thing, isn't it? It's our niche. You know, I mean, I'm sure the Austrian Finnish football show are probably hoping that Austria pull Finland out of that. But, you know, and plus, you know, it'd be nice. I mean, admittedly, me and Keke are travelling down to Cardiff for the Wales game for next month, but nice to get Ireland in Dublin as well, because I think when they played Ireland a couple of Nations Leagues ago, it was during COVID.
Yes.
And it was in behind closed doors. It was either behind closed doors or very small attendance. So I'm in Dublin for a while. So
be nice. Yeah. There's no chance of getting three of the home nations teams in Finland's group, is there?
No, I think not sure the others. Actually Scotland. Yeah, where's Scotland? Yeah, he says, looking frantically at his list. Yeah, Northern Ireland are in League C.
Yeah.
And, Scotland are in League A.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
well done to them. Let's
see. You'll be back on Friday with a bit of an update there. But I think that's about it for this episode. Rich, thanks for joining us.
Hey.
And listener, thanks for joining us. Until next episode of the Finnish Football Show, goodbye.
You've been listening to the Finnish Football Show. You can find us online at finnishfootballshow.com. Remember to subscribe to the show wherever you're listening or watching. You can follow the Finnish Football Show page and group on Facebook and also on Instagram. Escape to Suomi on Twitter is now Finnish Football Show on X. And you will find us on Blue Sky at Finnish Football Pod. See the links in the episode description, along with the links to the Finnish Football Show merchandise.